Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Koreatown Oddity episode. I was hip to K-Town Oddity by following Giovanni Marks and Mestizo's post about him. And I'm glad that I discovered him. My favorite part of his interview was when he talked about how he linked up with Stone's Throw Records, who released his music, as well as his trajectory growing up in K-Town. Koreatown. So thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast, musician Koreatown Oddity. All right.
What's up, bro?
Thanks for coming, man.
You could actually play. I thought you was going to play some old bullshit.
Oh, no. I just made it up.
You could play, though.
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I don't know. I can't read music. I just kind of improvise and just, whatever sounds good
to
me.
Some of the best way.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you.
I was hip to you by, shout out to Gino.
Shout out to Gino, man.
I was looking at his post because he kept promoting your newest album.
Yeah.
And my homie Mestizo personally texted me. He goes, check this kid out. And then
that's dope.
Because I respect those two, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then your name, your name stood out to me firstly. I'm like, oh, I thought it was another Korean cat. Like,
right.
I was going to hit up Dumbfounded and Year of the Ox and like Stizzy, like the Koreatown homies to let, I wanted to find out information, like who. Because I didn't see you at first, but when I saw the name, I'm like, I already had a vision in my head. I pictured this Korean kid with glasses, like a Cho Sung-hui looking character. But then when I saw you, it was that much cooler to me. I'm like, oh, he's not even Korean. He's
right.
A black dude.
Right.
And he's on Stone's Throw.
Right.
Yeah, it made it like raised
that's kind
the of, coolness bar for me.
That's one of the, I think, things about that name, like even when I was like, oh, okay, this is the name. Like I had said that in a verse one time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the Koreatown Oddity. And I said that in a verse one time. I don't remember what my name was at that time, but I was like, oh, that's it. Because that says everything.
Right.
And there's going to be no one else that's ever going to be that.
Be that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and it does make people think like, okay, this guy might be Korean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then not only that, like you have the kimchi song.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
I'm thinking, because
exactly.
I was like, before I even looked you up, I was like Googling. I'm like, oh, kimchi. Oh, he's definitely Korean.
Right.
And then, but then when I like looked into it, and then I'm like, oh, that's cooler.
Right.
And then it just like advanced my interest. I'm like, I got to find out more.
It's crazy. It's funny about that song in particular. My pops, he's super deep, man. He's like, and maybe subconsciously when I did that song, but he was like looking up what are the actual flavors of kimchi.
Oh,
and
I love it. Yeah,
and
I love it.
And when you listen to the song, he's like the different flavors from sour to bitter and sweet that
are in there is
kind of like what you talk about in the verses.
That's dope. That's
you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh yeah, that's crazy. That's not even part I was thinking about.
Pops knew that?
Yeah.
He's a fan of kimchi.
Dude. I mean, I don't know if he's a fan, but he looks into it. He's always looking into shit.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, you enjoy the food. I mean, how do you not like the food there in K-Town?
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, honestly, I don't eat meat no more.
Oh, that's fine.
Probably for about 10 years, but like, but vegetable barley bibimbap. I mentioned that on the album too. And ramen, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
I like
other
that. You know, bibimbap.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's so good. Yeah. I love it. I want to get into your just your story. Like, where are you originally? Were you raised in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm from L.A., born and raised. Koreatown.
So you're actually from K-Town.
Yeah, see, that's another thing about the name, too. It's like people think Koreatown Odyssey means because I live there, which I do right now.
Right. You're from there.
So no matter where I live, I'm always going to be Koreatown Odyssey.
You was born there.
Yeah, I'm born in 84.
So yeah.
The times that I lived there, I seen the shit. You know,
so you're around during the history, riots and all that.
All that shit.
So you saw the riots going down in 92?
I lived two blocks from California Mart when they had
I like that spot.
It was like, you know, it looks different now.
It
was like we had the big California Mart thing on there. And we were out looting, you know, mom. We were,
right.
what I'm saying?
So you saw them Koreans with AKs?
Yeah,
I
mentioned that on the album, too. Like, yeah, I seen that. Like,
you saw that.
You know, I'm riding around my mom's. I'm maybe like 8 years old. And, you know, I look out the window and I see that. We're going back to the house. And then we go in the house and we see
that's
them on
crazy.
TV.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
they had the, you know, they have a Ralph's on Western. And
oh, I've been there, that one.
Yeah, but it used to be on a little bit further.
That's kind of by the Wiltern?
It's
right there on
but
the side.
But it used to be a little bit further up.
Okay.
And that one got trashed by the rise. You know, I definitely got some shit from there.
God, that's crazy time. I saw a documentary on Netflix, 92. You see
that?
Yeah,
I seen that, yep.
Dude, that was pretty crazy to watch.
It's crazy because the spot, there's one spot that they showed us being looted in that documentary.
Now it's like
it got bombed on recently, like crazy mad graffiti, and then they just buffed over it. So I don't know exactly what they're gonna do with it, but it's like shut down over there. So, but there's it's a lot of history in there.
For sure. And I love the fact that you were born and raised in K-Town.
Yeah, man.
Doc.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Props to
respect, bro.
I love that story.
It's different coming from that time moving up to now.
The changes?
Because you see what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So how did you, like, growing up in Koreatown, like, how did you even get into music and all that?
My mom's actually is the first person to put me on the hip-hop. She was down with Syndicate and Grandmaster Caz. Like, Grandmaster Caz was coming to our house all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's OG. That's
and
OG.
It's like, she used to be taking me out to whenever she go to Donald D's house.
I remember Donald D.
Yeah, Donald D, part of
the
Syndicate.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom sold jewelry and made jewelry.
Is that Rhyme Syndicate?
Rhyme Syndicate, yep.
Oh, so Everlast was down with that, wasn't he?
Yep. I never met Everlast, but he was definitely down.
But people don't know. I remember... Because I got hip, because I was more, like, I was born in San Diego, you know, raised in San Diego.
Yeah.
So my first kind of, like, exposure was, like, Yo MTV Raps.
Right, right.
I remember seeing Hieroglyphics for the first time, like, Dell.
Wow, yeah.
The Sleeping on My Couch video, and I'm like, oh, okay, I like that.
Right, you like this shit.
Beastie Boys,
right.
Cypress Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But Everlast had a solo album before House of Pain, and it was his, you know, I'm like, he had boxing gloves on.
I want to say he was like the only white dude in the crew.
He was the only white dude, and I'm like, oh, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
But,
so yeah.
Donald D, man, history, you're bringing it back.
Nah, because, so it's like, you know, I was just listening to my mom's tapes, and, you know, Chubb Rock and Queen Latifah.
Oh, I love Chubb Rock.
MC Trouble.
Yep. Pete Rock.
I was listening to all those tapes she had, so she's kind of the one who put me on, and then Ice-T and Ice Cube. And
you remember Divine Styler?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that dude was ahead of his time.
It's funny. I feel like there was something me and my man was talking about him not that long ago. Some wild shit he's doing, some musically wild shit, you know.
But back then, I remember buying his tape. It was like a blue cover. It was like really kind of tripped out and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's always been on some shit.
Yeah. So Divine Styler and then Jungle Brothers, obviously.
Jungle Brothers, right.
So you like took influence from that time period.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was just like whatever my mom was around. K-Town, they had a spot called, I think it was called the Red Onion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a hip-hop kind of restaurant type of spot. I was going there all the time.
Yeah.
It was like right on Wilshire. And going to the Rhodium, which is a place where they sell like all kind of vintage stuff and have like a swap meet.
Yeah.
And so she would set up booths there, and she had all this, the Black Bart Simpson t-shirts yeah. and all those.
So she was into the culture.
She was a part of the culture for sure.
For sure.
Zulu
yeah,
Nation,
yeah.
you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you, and then what other groups were you interested after, like outside of Rhyme Syndicate and
oh,
all that?
Yeah. Okay. So obviously that was my more mm-hmm. my mom's mm-hmm. era, what I grew up on her shit. And then, of course, you know, there's the Far Side. And,
I mean, look at the shirt in the corner.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. Yeah, yeah exactly.
I got a story about them in San Diego. Like I said, I'm from, you know, inland, like suburban, you know, Poway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like not really L.A., you
right,
know?
Right.
And so, but there was a club in Escondido called The Distillery, and my homie had a Suzuki Samurai. You remember those Suzuki Samurai?
Yeah, yeah, the white
Yeah,
joint.
Yeah, the yeah. little box, yeah. little mini cheap
that had
Jeep.
The one that had
yeah,
the big wheel thing
yeah,
on the back.
Yeah, like little Jeep cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Stick shift. yeah. And he goes, there's this group, do you want to go out? And I think it was a Sunday night. It was, and I'm like, Far Side? Okay, I'll go. And the distillery was a small, like, discotheque. It was, like, during house dancing
yeah,
and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I remember firstly seeing their stickers. It was that shirt. It was yep. the fire hydrant and the dog. I'm like, what is this?
No, exactly.
And then I'm telling you, it was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. It was a small-ass janky club, but these dudes, like, perform their asses
no, they
off.
Are some dope performers.
Really good.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah. okay. And then I was hooked after that, and I couldn't stop thinking about that performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I bought the, I bought everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah
man. Shout out to Fat Lip.
Shout out to Fat Lip.
He's
shout
on
out
the
to
album
Fat Lip.
Too.
Yeah. Shout out to Fat Lip.
He actually just he's on a skit called Black Google. So he doesn't even rap on it. He's just hilarious on the skit.
Well, that's I look up to those dudes.
Oh,
Trey,
yeah.
Romai,
Trey,
all them.
Yeah.
Romai, even Imani.
Yeah.
I look up to all them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Even their videos, I remember I was really influenced because they had like fresh jive gear.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, what are they wearing? Mm-hmm. You remember Yamama, the Yamama video?
Yeah,
and I'm
okay,
what's
these
up,
bro
dudes.
Shot?
Yeah. Oh, and then the second Far Side story is, okay, before they dropped their first album, they were on a compilation called Brand New Heavies.
Oh, yeah. The
Soulflower. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had the very last song.
Right, right, right.
And I'm like,
what, the Farmer Man?
They stole that. They stole.
Of course.
I mean, there was Large Professor was on it. And
but it's like, they were like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, these dudes. Because they had a live band. Yeah, they had a live band. And I'm like, okay.
Yep.
I think Trey is super dope too. Like, I think those dudes like really, you know, I look up to all LA, you know, based like the Alcoholics and all them and Freestyle Fellowship and all that stuff. But Far Side's definitely in there for me, definitely
for sure. And then this came up on Cool Keith as well.
Oh yeah, shout out to Cool Keith.
Yeah,
Ultra Magnetic.
When I was
in
high school, me and my man Josh used to go on Marrows all the time.
Yeah.
Because you know, I went to Fairfax. So
I wanted to talk about that. So you're around like Sporty LA and
Yep.
And then
all that shit.
What was the graffiti shop called?
Workman's.
Workman's.
They had breaking videos. Mm-hmm. Shout out my man Jay Swift.
Yeah.
They had all kind of record stores, Penny Lane, Beat Nonstop, it was just cracking a dope time to like be going to school and then after school just walking
you're
down
just
Merrill
around it
because everybody was on Merrill's at the time.
And then you
basketball
saw
players,
and then you saw Wu-Tang stickers
everywhere.
Up,
rappers,
yeah,
basketball players, actors, models,
everything,
TV
was
show hosts. So we go down there every day and we're just seeing everybody.
Yeah, Merrill's ain't really popping like that no more.
Nah, you know
it?
What though?
What
I feel
happened?
I feel like it's like on
research.
It's kind of coming. I'm like. Peeping it out, I feel like it's kind of
they're trying to
take it back. But man, like Cool Keith used to be on there all the time.
Yeah, that
and you know, he had a couple like
that dude's
you know,
funky as hell.
Nah, we used to.
Yeah,
he had an apartment like you know, I guess apartment I was filled with shoes and clothes,
mm-hmm.
and then another apartment like that was still in the same area. So we used to see him all the time walking around.
Yeah, I remember Sex Styles. Remember his album Sex Styles?
Of course,
I remember seeing the cover like.
I think the first one I heard was Dr. Octagon and Dr. Doom.
Yeah,
those are the first ones
that
like, you know, I heard and we were just like, yo, what the fuck?
But Ultra Magnetic too, I mean.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, we're like 13,
but then
14.
He went on, it's kind of like MF Doom, you know, he was with KMD.
Right.
And then he went out and did his own thing with Doom.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that was like, I feel like for Doom that wasn't really planned, you know. I feel like he wasn't, I don't know if he would have went solo. You know what
man,
I'm saying?
I love that KMD shit. I love that shit.
Oh, yeah, that shit's hard.
I love that shit.
That shit's hard.
That shit.
Yeah,
I love the fact that you pay homage to the OGs, man.
For sure.
Because a lot of these, I don't know what's going on with these modern rap, like, you know, these trap rappers. Yeah. Or, but
you know what's crazy,
But you know, I like the fact that you know your stuff.
No, you know what's crazy, though? People think that, like, a lot of probably, like, trap rappers and shit like that don't know about the history, but they do.
Oh, they do. Studying. Oh, they do. They
because,
do.
Like,
okay, okay.
I mean, like, honestly, they got way more of a benefit than, like, when I was coming up because there's YouTube. So they can just go on a YouTube binge of whatever artist that they don't know about.
Yeah, because all the OGs are on there. Like their videos and their MP3s.
And you hear them throwing lines in there saying stuff about artists. Like, I'm going to do this like such and such. Or like, you know, referencing people. And you know they know. You know,
yeah,
like,
they know. They
you know fucking Migos listens to Wu-Tang. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Of course
they
know who that is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And somebody, and they have big homies that probably put them on like, you got to check this shit out.
I think it's important, man. You know what
sure.
I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you know, like, once you, when you know more about the past, that's how you able to create something new. And once you accept that there's really like not too much that's new, that's when you could freely create.
Right,
you know what I mean?
I like that you said that. Yeah, that's there's a lot of truth to that.
For sure.
When did you decide, like, because I could tell you're a fan, but when did you get your first piece of equipment and want to create your own music?
Let's see. So first, my man was making beats. We used to make tapes in high school. Mm-hmm. I only just rapped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would record through the phone. He'd play some beats over the phone, mm-hmm. and I'd just rap into the phone piece. I was one of them dudes that always had, like, a cassette player at
me
the
too.
House and record.
I went through that process,
Yeah, recording
too.
Prank calls and
Radio
shit like
Shack,
that.
I bought, like, a little... Exactly.
I had, like, a little karaoke kind of recording setup. Mm-hmm. So we would...
I did that, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we would, like, prank
call.
This
was before 4 tracks and 8 tracks. I'm like, well, what could we do now?
Yeah, it was just like, I didn't even
like,
really
I know.
Know
what we need, but what could we do now?
Right.
We need to do something now.
Right. So, you know, we started doing that first. And just making tapes, you know, I've been making tapes probably since like junior high and high school. And then like when I think I got my first like MPC, first I started learning on a few homies, maybe at 21, 22.
Yeah.
A couple homies that I knew had an MPC and they let me work on their shit. And then when I was able to get my, I think I got my first MPC, maybe like 2007, 2008.
Yeah,
and
that's the machine.
Yeah, so once I learned, I was going to homie's house making beats, and they're like, all right.
Describe to the viewers who don't know and listeners, if they don't know what the MPC
is. MPC is like a beat-making production machine.
Sampler.
You can sample on it. Mm-hmm. And
there's
16 pads. And you can pretty much chop samples and arrange things how you want to. I mean, honestly, you don't have to sample either. You could play your own instrument into it. People use it all kind of ways.
Trigger stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's a classic machine, you know, in hip hop that's used to make beats. Mm-hmm. So
I like that that was what you got hip to at first.
Yeah, I mean I mean honestly it
I
was just
that.
Like
I love that.
It's just like whatever you know
you were exposed to.
Yeah, my homie, I seen when he first got his MPC 2000.
Oh, yeah, 2000.
Yeah, yeah. I got a 1000.
Okay, yeah.
No, the 2000 is the big one.
Oh, the big one, okay.
Right, so, and you know, so I was just already, like, programmed to, like, whenever I get my shit, I'm getting an MPC. You know
man,
what I'm saying?
I remember I got an MPC 60 at Guitar Center back in the day. This is when I worked with Amoeba, with Fabius and
Gino.
I bought it. I brought it home. I sat there for hours, and I didn't know how to import stuff. You know what I'm
saying?
Right. I could have just really done more research.
Right.
But I got so flustered, and I regret this till this day. My homeboy, Mascaria, he brought me, and then I made him drive me back, and I had to return. I should have kept it.
You returned it.
That had a certain crunch to
but
it.
But how long did you fuck with it until you gave it?
I should have spent more time with it is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It was like 2 days and I'm like, fuck.
You was impatient as shit.
I'm like, I want my money back.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. It takes time because honestly, when I saved and got mine, it cost a G.
Yeah.
And but it's just like, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just keep fucking with it until...
I should have kept on to
it. No, that's kind of how you got to do it. You know what I'm saying? But maybe you just wasn't ready.
But then later I got the... got the one I used, the 303.
Word. See, yeah, at the time, you just
that's my baby.
Sometimes it's just like, you know, the machine that fits for you.
That's perfect for me.
It really don't even matter what you make your shit on. Some people like.
I like that I
remember,
you said that too.
I remember when my MPC got jacked and I had to get
another
one.
Oh, you got
one.
A jack?
Yeah, it's like I left it in a car in a shady downtown area. They broke in the car. They took the damn radio out. They had a turn. It was crazy.
I'm so sorry that happened.
It
that must have done something.
No, it hurt.
You.
It hurt.
I'm sure it did.
And the next morning, like I found out Sean P died. It was like a bad weekend.
Oh,
you know,
that's bad.
But I was recording after that just on tape, just making like pause tapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Explain to the viewers what a pause tape is.
Pause tape is basically like you're trying to make loops, but you're recording
with tape decks,
a piece of a song and then pausing it and then bringing that part back and then pressing record again. So then when you listen to it back, it sounds like a complete track.
Most likely a drum beat, like a loop,
anything. Depending on how experimental you're trying to be.
So how you have to be real precise with that, right? As far as pausing it, rewinding it, and then chewing it up again.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, and like how I would do it is like if it was a little off, that made the beat more fly, you know?
Yeah,
because then nobody can really copy the way you chop something if it's like off like that. So
you know, I'm glad that you brought that up because I think nowadays, because of technology, it's so perfected. There's no
right.
That's why with way I make my beats is I do it live. So I could be off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I practice for like 10, 15 minutes before I record into the program. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to assemble it this way.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready right now. I think I have it, you know?
Yeah, that's how you want your shit to sound a little bit
organic.
You know, unique.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? You want your shit to, is like, it got to be. Natural, you don't want to be trying to force being like something else, but like, you know, natural to how you think it sound good.
Yeah,
some people may be like, oh, it might not work for them, but if you like it, when you know you like some shit,
I don't mind it if it's just a little off and I'm like, oh, well, if you're just really looking for that, you'll find it.
Know when some shit is banging.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it's no
yeah.
like, you know, it's a true feeling. You're being honest with yourself. I like to be super honest with myself. I'd be like, yo, if I wasn't me, would I fuck with this shit?
Right,
and if I can't honestly say that, then I'm going to just keep this one for myself for no one to hear.
I got some joints like that too. Or,
you feel me?
Yeah, I got some.
You're like, it's cool, but like
I'll put it on my Patreon.
Right. That's private. Oh, that's it. Your Patreon
exclusive.
For all the mistakes.
Exclusive.
That's all my mistakes shit.
No, these are just the B-sides.
Right,
but,
right.
You guys could hear it.
Yeah.
So when did you start actually like recording, trying to get your stuff out there?
I think I might have put out my first thing on tape probably about like maybe it was like 2009-10.
Okay.
You know, it was like, okay, I was like, oh, I'm ready, you know, and I wasn't on the internet really.
Mm-hmm.
I was just hand to hand. So I would see like, you know, whoever I fucked with, like I see J-Rock, I'd be like, yo, J-Rock, here's my tape. Yeah, all right,
shout out
man,
to
peace.
The Beat Junkies.
Oh, yeah. I see Redmatic, like, yo.
Yeah, Red's
like,
been on here. Red's been on here.
Yeah, I see Shoes, like, oh, yo. I see Wolf, you know, like, if I see M.E.D., I see rappers and DJs that I fucked with, I would just give them my shit.
Do you remember a guy named Marvsky, DJ Marvsky?
No, I don't know DJ Marvsky. Huh.
Not a lot of people talk about him, but when I first moved here from Arizona, I moved to Echo Park. There was a little mom and pop record store. He was down with all them cats you said.
Okay,
but I don't think he gets a lot of shine. Yeah.
I'm sure they know.
They know who he is.
Exactly. If they know him, then he knows.
But I just remember he was really knowledgeable, like, you know, because I didn't have that much of a budget.
He had a record store?
Yeah, he had a little mom and pop. I remember I bought like Kwame, Boy Genius, like
nice,
the
nice.
Rhythm, like the 12-inch.
Yeah.
I rebought that. I'm like, oh, let me buy.
It's crazy.
You know, Helter Skelter, LaFalle, you know, like just for the instrumental.
Yeah.
I really like the beat.
Yeah. I know he gonna appreciate the shout out then. Yeah.
So you would network that way, the way, you know, people did it back then. You'd go to shows or.
Yeah, I would honestly. I just keep some tapes on me. If I went out to like a show and I saw, yo, that's my man right there. Yo, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
I use the guru rule. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
What's the
you know,
and just pre
the guru
expand
on Hard to Earn? He says, You know what I'm saying? I never, you know, people, motherfuckers want to come up to me rapping and shit, you know, breath stinking like a motherfucker. All right,
he goes, just,
yeah, and he was like, just say he my was name, like, peace. I never did that shit. They just want
to get on.
Some
to
motherfuckers
on.
Just want to stand next to you. He's mm-hmm. like, I never did that shit. When I want to get on. He's like, I saw somebody, you know, I gave him a compliment,
and I said,
told him my name, gave peace. Him a pound,
and then
peace.
He was out. Yeah.
That's pretty much what I would do.
That was like, I remember that yeah. interlude, yeah.
And I would just like, that's how I would get my taste. I'd be like, yo, you know, I see shoes. I'd be like, yo, shoes. And he'd be like, all right, word. And that's yeah, it. And I wouldn't be like, yo, I'm da 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 da. I was like, if yeah. he listened to it, cool. If he don't, you know, that's yeah. what's up. And
I think that, yeah, I, you know, there's that aspect to it. But then again, because I did that too. Oh, I gave Dre one of my...
Dr. Dre?
Yeah, yeah, Dre. I was working in the... I was a clerk, a cashier, but then I got promoted up to the warehouse.
Wow.
So my next job was I would take, I was a jewel case switcher. So, you know, the old joints you would get, I would dust them off and put them into the new jewel cases,
uh-huh.
put them in the new bins.
Yeah.
But up there, it's a whole different world. But then someone told me, oh, Dre is up here digging for records, literally right next to where I was working in the warehouse.
Whoa.
And so, like, I got the goosebumps.
No, that's a
I
moment.
I just dropped.
Especially, like, back then.
Yeah, I just dropped one of a thing called Dojo Dynamics. It was a CD. I pressed 200 copies, and then I just bought one off the floor, and then I just gave it to him. And I, you know, the same thing
yeah.
you said. I'm like, hey.
What, he just gave you a head
yeah,
nod?
Yeah, like, yeah. Just, and then, but then he goes, hey, hold up. Is your contact... on here? And I go, yeah, my well, back then,
right.
email.
You're like,
yeah,
you're like,
never contacted right. me. It never contacted me back, but
right.
But but I'm paranoid. I mean, I'm not saying it's right or like if someone bid, or I'm not saying anyone yeah. took my idea, but yeah. I remember like literally after that, I back then I had this four track or something on my this effect I used that can make my yeah. voice sound like, hey, you know, like yeah. like a deeper voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had that going on like between songs.
Yeah.
I noticed that Eminem on like his first album, like yeah. his, they yeah. started implementing that yeah. voice. I'm like, oh man, did Dre? I'm
right,
not saying
right,
they
no,
did.
Of course you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, yeah, but I was like,
never, right,
I was
right.
driving myself crazy.
Right,
like,
right.
Because I know that I had that right. shit on mine.
That's
you know
just, that's
mean?
Just fucking hilarious.
It's, yeah, I don't know if
about.
That's true. I'm not saying
no,
it
just,
is or not.
It's funny to think about him be like, yo, I got this tape from this kid at Amoeba. And they
yeah,
listen to it, they're like,
didn't call it back.
And he's like, hell yeah.
But
like,
maybe, you know, I always wondered that. Like,
no, but hey, honestly, I mean.
Because that's a specific thing, you know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's what's crazy about, like, being, like, somebody, like, especially during the 90s. Like, I'm sure they got inspired by a lot of people's demo tapes. Maybe they didn't bite, but
yeah.
I'm sure people got inspired by a lot of demo tapes they got handed on the streets.
I have to admit, I was highly really inspired by the Far Side and Beastie Boys and Cypress Hill.
For sure.
And them.
I can see that.
Highly,
yeah.
very, very
yeah.
influenced.
And honestly,
by them.
Like, you know, how I look at it is like, unless somebody's doing like a direct bite, like people are calling you, like, yo, this motherfucker.
Like a line.
Yeah.
Like,
if
hey.
Somebody, yeah, if somebody's doing a direct bite of what you do. Other than that, if it's like something that you like, oh, it sounds like that's like my shit and I gave this person my thing. Hey, at least you seeing to an audience that shit worked.
Right.
You know, you're like,
it's
you're
kind
like,
of like respect. It's
no,
like
you're
a
like,
homage.
You're like, yo, that means I got good ideas because this motherfucker used the idea
and it
is,
worked.
And he's a big artist
it
and it
platinum.
Blew up. Okay. right. You're like, cool.
And
you
I'm
know
working
what I'm
at a record store.
You know what I'm saying?
yeah.
You know, so like.
Yeah. I've never said that before. I brought it up because
right.
like I'm going back because I remember hearing it later in his later works. I'm like, damn, I did that on.
No,
mine.
But that's what I'm saying. You could picture yourself in the same creative ballpark. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah. Cause back then I'm up to experimenting. You know, I'm like,
for sure.
Back then I would get high and just sit there and be like, what could I do that no one's done?
Right.
oh,
right.
I want to make this fictional character. He's actually going to narrate through my album, like
right.
kind of clowning me, you know?
You know, it's funny. It made me think about Tyler, the Creator's, album the Goblin one, how he has like the deep voice therapist
that's,
going throughout
but I
the
did
whole
that in 2003 that's what I'm talking
that's
about
I'm
man
right.
that's the thing I did in 2003
right.
that therapist voice
right.
but I did that in Dojo Dynamics 2002
that's
2003
that's
man.
What I'm saying though people you
but
know,
you know what I mean I did that back then
honestly
but no one will know that
I will think like when you come up with some shit as soon as
it's
like
Goblin voice
as soon as the thought comes into your head and you say it out loud, it's out there. Like other minds. Wait a minute.
Now you're, that's some spiritual, talking some spiritual shit.
No, I really believe in that. Like,
wow. So you're saying once the thought is out in the universe, it's out there.
No, because it's like everybody's,
dude, that's deep.
Everybody's mind as a creator.
We're connected
too.
To two.
We're, yeah. We're all like, you know how, like, if you think about somebody and then you're like, an hour later, you're like, yo, they just text me. I was just talking about this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our
that's
minds,
so crazy.
Our minds are powerful like that.
And it, you know,
so
that's
somebody
out there.
Somebody
quantum
made
physics, man. Yeah. It's quantum physics.
Like,
it's
right now, fucking Dr. Dre might be somewhere thinking about Dojo Dynamics. He's like,
he might, right now, you never know.
Oh, you never know, bro. Right. He might be looking through a box of old tapes he got or CDs and just like chilling, trying to get some inspiration.
He's got my CD for sure. I remember handing him my CD.
That's what I'm saying. You never know, man. The way the universe works, there's these things that people don't really know about that can't be explained, that just happen, that aren't coincidences.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a wave traveling from your mind and shit.
It was hard back then too, because I'm a fan of Eminem's too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like his work.
For sure.
He's a phenomenal lyricist, phenomenal artist. Yeah. So if anyone did it, I'd be like, all right, well, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
That's cool.
You're like, yo, I'm on that Eminem level type shit.
No, you know, not by any means.
No, but I'm
at
just
least
saying.
That idea.
Like, you're like, yo.
The wavelength.
The fact that idea that you heard something in somebody else's album that's big and you were kind of doing something like that, that means you're on a creative wavelength.
I know what I'm saying. You may not
be him as an artist.
No, but not even close. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yo, Eminem, he's talking about you, yo. You know what I'm saying? Get your diss track ready. You know what I'm saying?
Em, you're always welcome on the Stevie Weeby Show. But you'd be crazy.
Yo, that would be crazy.
What if he actually watches?
Yo, you never know, because people just be watching YouTube, all kind of shit.
But trip out on this.
That'd be crazy. If you get Eminem on this show, we're going to manifest that, bro. Yo, let's get Eminem on this show, man. That would be crazy.
That would be so crazy.
If M came and did this show and you could tell him that story. No, I mean, like, why wouldn't he do this show? I don't see why not.
And then he just comes in his pocket with like 4 G's. Like, hey, word.
That would be even crazier if he did.
Word.
You ain't getting 4 G's, but yeah. If you get him on here, that's your 4 G's right there.
But you know, it's a trip. I think you're onto something, because my brother's in the entertainment world. And he said, and it tripped me the fuck, you know, he said something about Howie Mandel watches this shit. My shit.
No, of course.
And I'm like, what?
Dude, man.
Howie Mandel knows that about. Shit.
Yo, it's like, yo, let me, and like.
Yeah,
and
it like, tripped me out. I'm
in
like,
the
how
year
does he
2000,
know?
That would be a surprising thing. But in 2020,
yeah.
I'm not surprised about who listens to and watches what, because we have access to everything. There's no walls now. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
If Killer Mike and LP can do an album together,
you know what's even
in 2002, I would have never thought that could happen.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Love their shit. Love
so
Company
it's like,
Flow. Love their shit.
But that's what I'm saying.
Love
like, Death you would have never thought
Loved
Killer Mike would be doing
shit.
That album with.
No, no.
That's what I'm,
but now the walls are down.
They did it. There's the internet.
You
can just hit. I can just hit DM.
Oh, Twitter.
Right now, and be like, yo, I love your shit. I love your shit.
And he'll see it.
Yeah. Or anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
When I play, because I've been playing Warzone, you know, on the Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know that. I don't know much about basketball, right? I like the Lakers back when they had Magic and Byron Scott and
I
followed it then.
Of course.
Utah Jazz versus the Bulls.
I remember that series. Jeff Hornacek, Hornacek and Stockton. Right.
I remember that. But this guy hit me up, and he's a professional NBA player. Shout out to Terrence Scott. You know?
Whoa, yeah.
I just played with him the other night.
See?
And we're talking.
Yo,
he's in a hotel.
Dude,
somewhere,
there's no walls now.
And he's like, yeah, he watches my shit and my brother's podcast. And I'm like, oh. And he was like,
you never know how many people probably watch your shit that will never get to tell you they do.
Yeah, so I'm playing games with him now. And then I looked at his, I'm like, who is this guy? Because he had the check mark. And then I'm like, okay, he's by this house. Okay, he's on a basketball. Oh, I looked into it, and he's like dunking.
No, that's crazy.
And
like,
I'm like, you know who he is?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
what's crazy is you just made me think about this. I was looking at you got a picture of Bobby Lee over here.
That's my brother.
Like your blood brother?
Yeah.
That's your blood brother?
Yeah, that's my
Bobby
older
Lee?
Brother. Yeah.
Oh shit. Yo, that's crazy. Because I was just going to say, like, you know, I come from stand-up world,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay.
Like, when I was, like, 16, I go to the Comedy Store.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bobby Lee was the host, and he used to be, like, I wasn't allowed to, I was too young to go in. Mm-mm. So they used to be, like, he would be, like, no, he's cool. Let him come in, do his set, and then go back out.
Oh, is it the raffle where you
Yeah. So when I was like young back in the day, he was real cool.
That was Sunday nights or Monday nights or something. Yeah.
It's funny because I remember like, you know, I could do like impressions and shit too. Mm-hmm. I remember back then, I always think about this because it's so random that he said, he's like, man, you could do people like that. Like, that's cool. He's like, you should do somebody like that. Nobody really does like Delroy Lindo.
Oh, my brother said that?
Yeah, and I always think about that. So when I think about Delroy Lindo, I think about him saying that.
That's crazy.
And now it'd probably really be a good impression to do because like he's more famous now, Delroy Lindo.
That's crazy. What a small world.
No, that's crazy that you said that.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. You did stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh, you did the open mics?
All that shit. I used to be a regular at Laugh Factory because that was like my main spot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
when
I was 16, I was performing at night for adults.
That's crazy.
You know, after school, I would go there and then, you know, my story is crazy. when I think about it, like it's a crazy LA story.
Yeah, I did. I did open mics for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I did Marty's and
Rock,
Paper, Scissors.
Recently, not
no,
like,
yeah, because like,
yeah,
yeah.
Marty's.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
You pay $5.
Yeah, Marty's
no one would watch
the workout spot. Right.
Oh, so you know about Marty.
I know about Marty's. Yeah. Yeah,
he'd be like ignoring your set, playing the keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you honestly, like when it comes to the open mic game and shit, it's like it's not
there's
really
no
about
love. There's no love with
no
the
but
comics.
It's not even about the love. It's not even about no one listening your shit. It's about you
doing it,
getting your ideas out clearly
there. Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
matter if any I don't care if no one's there,
right,
you know what I'm saying,
right,
if I
right.
got the mic and the stage, you don't have just, a mic and the stage at home, you can't be at home like yelling yeah. You can't be doing that
I
shit
remember
at home.
Even at Marty's, you know how he had there's different rooms in
yeah
there?
Yeah,
and
yeah
he had this other smaller room where it's like
this close,
yeah, exactly,
it's like it's
and then we set up the PA and then I go, oh, hey, two of you come in here,
right,
and then I would just kind of do my thing in front of like two people,
right,
but I'm like, at least I'm like working it out.
Sometimes you just need to talk some shit on a mic,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That's why a lot of times in the comedy scene it might be some crazy like homeless guy or bum who's kind of like got some mental issues, right,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you'll see them all the time,
yeah,
doing,
yeah, yeah,
and then you don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes they're just doing crazy, they're not trying to blow up,
no,
they just they need this,
they need
the opportunity to be able to talk to some people,
right,
that's listening,
right.
or at least in the room.
Man, that's a good angle,
man.
Right there, I never thought of it that
nah
way.
For real,
yeah,
sometimes
yeah,
you just gotta
yeah,
talk
yeah.
some shit, like I need to just get this shit out, like
yeah.
I'm really curious, like, what's the comedy game going to be like because of this, you know, the quarantine and all this shit.
Yeah, that world's crazy.
Nah, because I've been definitely thinking about a lot of shit that just cracks me up. I'm like, I need to tell
some
damn jokes.
You know, a lot of these podcasters and, like, I think I heard Rogan and Joey Diaz and those cats, they're, like, moving out of state or something.
They live here?
They live in L.A. Oh,
okay.
And
are they moving because no stand-up?
Has to do with that too.
Oh, because like other places
down.
Are still doing.
Yeah, because you could podcast anywhere in the world.
No,
word. You know what I mean?
Word
so
up.
They're like, well, why am I paying $8 billion a month to live here?
Right.
When I could live in Oklahoma or Texas
if
or
you,
something.
If you came here just, you know, you having the opportunity and being around all this shit, yeah, I guess there's no point. You know what
I'm
saying?
There's no point. And plus, that, I mean, especially with Rogan, he's got that Spotify deal.
Yeah, he
deal.
Seemed like he just in a
chilling,
just in a like a whole nother planet. When I watch his show, it's like, where the fuck is he at? It don't seem like he in no state or city or country.
He's just in a space. He
somewhere.
Probably lives way out somewhere in a nice house. And
oh yeah,
he's got like flotation tanks.
It's crazy. Yeah, I didn't even know you did comedy. I was watching Fear Factor back in the day.
Oh no,
I didn't
that guy's
that.
Been doing. He's been doing it since he was a like teenager.
It's crazy.
Like, out of Boston or
crazy.
Something. Yeah, he's been doing it. I did not know that about your story. That's crazy.
Man, I didn't know about your story.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. I don't like, you know, I don't
know. You know, I thought you was
like
that's
that.
My brother. Like, you know, that's my brother. No, that's your blood
that's
brother.
That's my
brother.
Yeah,
no, that's
yeah.
crazy. Your brother's in entertainment.
Yeah,
you gotta be
yeah.
low key. Bobby Lee.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. He's such a cool guy. Just
yeah,
like,
I mean, not only that, people, I want to put this, he's helped other comedians.
No, man,
way,
you
didn't
even
got
to tell me.
Yeah,
just me
yeah,
saying
yeah,
he's a
yeah,
cool
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even going to say he's a cool guy. He's a great human being. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, he's helped people. Yeah.
Yeah, word.
It's just it's a weird world in that world because of just the, you know, because they're not doing mics. They're, you can't do comedy like, no,
you
can't. Zoom.
You could do a music thing.
You could do that. Music. You see J. Rue do his thing?
Yeah, J. I did. Yeah, he had his J. Rue socks. Yeah. I actually ordered some of them socks.
He was sitting down and he was, I like that. Yeah.
So like musicians, they're fine. You could do, you know, viral stuff. But like, I mean, the comedy thing is kind of like, unless audience. You're like on some Dave Chappelle level shit, because he throws a thing in his backyard and has it, you know, distanced, and you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
Andy Kaufman, rest in peace. If he was still alive, he could probably get away.
Yo, he would probably be doing some COVID pranks.
Puppet shows.
No, he probably would have just like died from COVID for fake. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we're like, oh, he's dead. And then he's like, not. Yo, that reminds me, one time I seen Tony Clifton driving in a car. And like down the street, like some years ago,
I was like, yo,
like I was like, honk down. It was Tony Clifton.
He had the suit on.
Yeah, I was like, honk the horn. I was like, yo.
Yeah.
And this is, you know what I'm saying? This is like, it was probably like after I had just seen the movie, you know, the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, like I was freaked out.
Hey, that's one of my favorite movies.
Nah, that's good.
I own that somewhere in the closet. That's a great freaking movie.
Yo, dude. So good.
Yeah. Shout out to Danny DeVito too, man.
Man.
You know, he's in that.
Yo.
We got off topic. I'm glad that we got off topic. I didn't realize.
No, I mean, we ain't no topic.
Yeah. I want to get to, because you're on Stone's Throw now.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, dude.
Or respect.
Respect on that. That's great. That's great. Respect. When I saw that, to me, when I saw you as an artist, I'm like, there's that hidden seal, like, you just see, you know, there's a seal that got put on it.
No, shout out to my man Wolf, man.
Shout out to Peanut Butter Wolf and Doom and Madlib, all that. But I'm a fan of all that.
For sure.
So I think that, especially hearing your story, that makes sense as far as a label for you.
Word.
I think it fits.
No, I mean, like, I came up when I was in high school, I was listening to Stone's Throw.
Yeah.
When I started doing my tapes, whenever I see Wolf, I give him a tape, he'd be like, yo, I don't got no tape player in my car, but all right.
He's approachable, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? If he, you know, he's like anybody else, though. Like, if you want to, you know.
If you want
to. Sometimes it's like awkward situation. You got to know not to approach people at certain times.
Okay,
you know what
I'm saying? I'm glad you brought that up, because my girlfriend used to work at Paquetto.
Okay, what's that?
It's a store in Little Tokyo. They sell, like, stationery stuff.
Oh, okay, where? I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Had, like, that Asian
kind of aesthetic. Yeah.
But I saw Wolf there, and I'm like, should I? But he was, you know, mingling with other people.
Right.
So I decided not to.
Man, sometimes, you know.
I just, you know.
Hey, sometimes, you know.
I didn't.
You know, you just got to pop that guru rule.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just be like, hey, yo, I fuck with you, bro.
Boom, right.
That's it. Sometimes a simple moment of just giving somebody a pound and saying, what's up? There's people that did that to me, and I see him around somewhere, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
I was at the thing, and
I met you. What's up, bro? And he's like, yo, man, I do music. I was like, oh, word, let me check some shit out.
You
never know. A simple just, what up? I know that's you, and I fuck with you.
That recognition, respect. Yeah. How did you link up with Stone's Throw?
Basically through Wolf. Like, I was always bumping into him. Like, I see him.
And you had your stuff on you?
I will always have tapes on me.
Okay, like, so let's tell a younger artist, wherever you go, whenever you go out in public, always have.
I mean, honestly, I can't tell younger artists to have tapes on them, because I don't know if that's everybody. Because honestly, it's like cool now. But like when I was doing it, it's like everybody was looking at me like, why you got tapes? Like, what are you doing? But I was like fine with it. Like, yo, here you go. Even if you don't listen to it.
A
successful thing to me. Here, you got my tape, you know. But I would say nowadays it's kind of different, you know, because there's social media, it's like more popping now. Like,
so yeah, have your business card ready or something like that.
It's kind of like nowadays I feel like you gotta just do your thing. Just keep doing your thing. And if you see somebody around, just say, hey, what up? Yo, I fuck with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's like everybody's a goddamn artist nowadays.
Everyone.
So
especially
it's like
now.
So it's like nobody really.
This.
Yeah, especially like if you're somebody, you know, you don't really want to be approached by people all day saying, yo, I got music.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
so what? Everybody does. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a simple acknowledgement like, yo, I fuck with you, bro.
Yeah.
Damn, I love all your shit. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. That might be it. Mm-hmm. And just keep doing your thing.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's always going to be a breakthrough when you keep doing your thing, mm-hmm. whatever that is, playing tennis, whatever the fuck, and being honest with yourself, mm-hmm. and not being dirty, like, you know, not being shady and weird and shit.
You may
come up those ways, but in the long run, it's going to fuck up your DNA.
That's bad karma, dude.
It's going to fuck your whole DNA up. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, even if you get on, the things that you did are going to, like, come back around in ways you don't even know. You might get an infection in your fucking foot. And you'd be like, well, I got this foot infection. Yeah, remember 10 years ago when you fucking, you know what I'm saying? So just, you know, stay true, be honest, you know what I'm saying? And just keep doing your thing and don't be salty. Nobody owes you shit.
Yeah.
You just got to keep doing your thing and having fun with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, being a good person. That's it.
So, okay. So you gave Wolf, you kept seeing him.
Give him tapes.
And then he hit you up?
Then he's like, you know, get my email. So then I would start emailing them. I saw him at there used to be this movie place called Cine Family. It's not there anymore. It was on Fairfax.
Yeah.
One day I went there and he was coming out from a movie and I was like, oh, what up? And I had already been seeing him around. He's like, oh, he's probably like this dude. Okay, cool. Yeah, he gave me a card, his email. Email me. Started emailing. One day then he said, yo, come to the fucking office. Then I come out there, I hung out at the office, you know, play some music. We just kicked it, talked about music and you know,
so you had no expectation. You didn't have that energy like, hey, hook me up, hook me up.
Not a hook me up, but definitely I was like, yo, I'm the nigga right now.
I was like,
you may not know, but yo, let's get this. You know what I'm saying? I'm cut from the cloth. Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I had that energy, of course.
But the main thing I'm getting out of it is you showed up.
For sure. Yeah.
You showed up.
Yeah.
No expectations.
When it's time to show up, you got to be ready.
Show up.
It's like, you know, time is really the thing that's important. It may not be your time yet.
Yeah.
And it's like everything's preparing. You know what I'm saying?
That's so vital.
You know, like when you, okay, you want something, right? And everybody wants something, right? Mm. But when you want something, things got to shift. So you got to be in a position that you may not really like because somebody else in the world wanted some shit. So they got to, it's like a fucking Rubik's Cube.
Right.
You know, the colors got to be in different places.
It got to be in formation.
Until they get all, you know,
lined up for you.
So,
yeah.
All right, you might have lost your job and you're fucked, but somebody might have needed that job you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But you losing a job,
you gained something else.
You got maybe an opportunity. You are in a store that you wouldn't have been in because you're not working that day and you run into such and such.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, it's so crazy. So, whatever you say in the back of your mind, you want that and you keep that in the back of your mind and you keep that going. The universe is going to give it to you. The universe wants to give you your shit.
You know what? The thing about you, the common thread, which I love throughout this whole interview, is like you talk a lot about the universe and, putting stuff out there and having it reciprocate back. And I don't know you that well, but I'm guessing that. Do you read like spiritual, like you?
I mean, there's some ones I read.
Actually,
you know, it's funny when there's this book that I came up with, which I didn't really know what it was when I was a kid. So I got a bunch of Peter Max drawings. He's like an illustrator, painter from like back in the day. He was big in the 70s.
Yeah.
And my mom had this book. It's called Thought. And it had some words from Swami Satchidananda, just these words printed really big for like almost like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have pictures in it, too. And, you know, I came up reading that book. I think my mom stole it from the library. It still had the due date thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just look at it. It was a cool book, you know. But as I got older, I started to understand a lot of the things that were in there, like and think about the phrases and the terms of like, OK, well, what you put out. You know what I'm saying? It's like a wave and it's going to come back. It can crash on you. And, you know, and I just grew up being into people like deep motherfuckers.
My pops is
mad spiritual. Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, yeah.
He's all about the biblical math. Any number things. My dad.
Gematria, all that.
He's not surprised when things happen because he goes, like, if I talk about something like, yo, this is crazy right now. He was like, yo, you know, this adds this and this plus this. He's like, I knew this was going
to
happen.
There's something to that, man.
You know, so it's like, it's kind of like, you know, I just kind of like grew up with it. Not really like knowing it's a thing.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
There's
and
stuff to astrology people don't realize,
nah,
too.
Nah, that shit's big.
Like, even the way people study the stars, you know what I mean? Like, Nostradamus. You know what I mean? There's a reason why cats like that, they knew what was about to pop off.
Nah, man.
Because they studied the stars and everything.
Yeah, it was actually, it was a... Black Moon started yesterday too. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of crazy energy going on with that. If you into that, you know, into
I'm into the group
shit.
Too. Yeah, I'm into the group. You know shout out to Buckshot like, Shorty. I'm into the group.
You know what
I'm
saying? If you into
well.
All this, yeah,
I'm
you know, there's
Black
like
Moon.
You
love
being,
Black
being
Moon.
Connected with universal
love
shit.
Black
you know what
Moon.
I'm saying? Exactly.
Love it. Love it.
If you into the so it's like, yeah, it's like it's all energy, bro.
Yeah.
It's that's all
that's
it is.
Beautiful thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you doing something right as far as just putting good energy out there, wouldn't you say?
Word.
As well?
You know what's crazy? I just thought about this too, and I was like, yo, is this my man who be rocking out with David Cho?
That's me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's and I was like
Yeah, and that's how I got in the band with them.
Oh, okay.
Trip out on this. This is going back to what you're saying.
I knew that was you, bro.
So I was we're driving to Koreatown to eat to get some barbecue. And it was at around this time. And my brother, his phone goes off and he goes, God, fuck. I go, what? He goes, can we postpone this? I go, dude, I'm hungry. Aren't you hungry? Yeah. He goes, just come to this thing with me. I promise my friend I'm going to do his podcast. Back then, I didn't know what the fuck a podcast
right,
was, dog.
Your, yeah,
I was
fuck?
Like,
right.
What the hell? What are you, what?
Right.
I go, all right. You know, and I have to admit, I had a pretty crappy attitude. All
yeah, right.
Right,
right.
But I was a fan of Dave.
Right.
His art is unbelievable.
Right, right.
So, okay. So we drive. Then he U-turn, right, from wherever, Olympic or whatever. And then we get on the freeway downtown. We go to this warehouse.
Yeah.
So we pull up and I'm like, all right, how long is this going to take, man? He's like, don't worry. Just come in, dude. Come in.
Right.
And I'm like, all right. We go in, they had the whole shit set up, you know,
yeah.
The mics and
yeah,
everything,
yeah.
The soundboard, the whole thing. So I'm like, okay. So what I did what you said. I wasn't like, I said respect. I go, hey, man, I'm a fan. I'm just going to post up over here.
Right.
You guys do your thing.
Right, right.
All
right.
I actually physically took a chair, you know, one of these fold-out
yeah,
chairs,
yeah.
Put it on the other side of the room, let them do their shit,
you're
right?
You're playing mad
yeah,
low-key.
I was just right. Like, you guys do your shit. I'm his little brother. You know, you do your thing there.
Yeah.
I'm just here just to support.
Yeah.
Literally, I think not even 10 minutes in, Dave goes, hey, have your brother sit in Asa's seat or something. You know what I mean? Because she was gone that
right,
day.
Right.
So I go, oh, all
right. Right.
I didn't know what a podcast was.
Right.
Keep in mind, Mike is in front of me.
Right.
And they just, I was podcasting.
Right, right.
So I was just happy
wow.
to be there. Right.
That's crazy.
And trip out. And by this time, I had given up on music completely. I dropped my final EP that I self-produced, put it up on iTunes. I quit Amoeba. I was working at a sandwich shop right around the corner, Fat Sal's. I was
wow.
bagging meat
wow.
and washing dishes
wow.
and making shakes.
Wow.
I was that dude, you know, hard at working, hard sweating,
yeah.
you know. So I'm there and then trip out. So through that, he kept inviting me again. Then I came back again. Then I came back again. By like the fifth or sixth or seventh time, out of nowhere, he goes, hey, do you guys want to record music? And I go, and trip out. You know how much of a Beastie Boys fan I am. Money Mark was there the whole time.
Wow.
I thought he was a beat junkie. I felt dumb. I thought he was a beat junkie at first.
Right.
I'm like, Money Mark, is that Then later, I'm like, oh, shit, he's a part of the Beastie Boys. So I was tripping on that hard. And so Money Mark was there, and then I go, oh, yeah, okay.
Right, right.
And so from that, we got a spot. We rented a big cabin, like, you know, like a whole fucking camp fire cabin with different, you know,
yeah,
like a huge
yeah, yeah.
facility cabin,
yeah.
different bunkers in Big Bear. And we recorded, and it turned out to be this record.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's
you know, there's
crazy.
A rap in it, punk, country, you know, just, you know.
Yo,
and
it's crazy because, like.
So we did this there, and then he I remember they pulled me to the side, like, Steve, I know you come from, like, the underground, four-track, you know, rap background, but you got to be open to doing other types of music.
Word,
and
word.
And they're like, you got to be open to screaming, so we got some punk joints on there, you know what
yeah.
I mean? So I'm like, oh.
Open
I'm,
to screaming?
Yeah,
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 yeah.
I'll scream, yeah. So we did that,
yeah.
And then later, we're like on tour with Kid Koala. We opened up for Deltron, opened up for Diane. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
yo, and you're going to see the.
But this is going back to what you're saying.
Exactly, bro. It's like the universe shit. It's like that wasn't out of nowhere.
I gave up, dog.
Your brother took you to the thing.
By accident.
David Cho. He's like, yo, I like this motherfucker. He picked up an energy wave. And he was like, I like this motherfucker. Why don't you come get on the mic?
You know what I'm saying?
You end up fucking. And I was like, when you hit me, I was like, yo, is this? And I've been looking at those videos. I follow David Cho. And I was like, yo, this motherfucker is crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Always seeing the crazy shit he be doing.
Just like getting butt naked, jumping in mud. Like he's the original fucking Eric Andre. You know what I'm saying? So like, yo, that's crazy. That's what I'm saying. That's that universe shit I'm talking about. You was done and you would just end up being in a band.
Touring on a tour bus, East Coast, Canada.
You would have never imagined.
No. And then not only that, they put out my solo album on Wax too.
Wow.
So during that time period, I did this album and then they go, well, why don't you just, because I was kind of messing with like writing again, and I'm like, well, I'm working on like just my own rap shit.
Yeah,
I'll put it out once you finish it.
Whoa.
And then let me do the cover.
Whoa.
And hey, who do you want to, how do you want your album, you know? And then so they press that up as well, and we sold.
What label is that on?
DVD ASA, his own thing. Word. The podcast. That's what's up. The podcast put it out. So yo, basically his label, but
that's what's up,
the
man.
Podcast. So this is, that's so crazy you said that, because it's like, yeah, that happened to me where I was like, I told the universe, I'm done with this, and I literally started working in a sandwich shop,
right?
And I was like, all right, I'm done,
right?
I worked, you know, other jobs, and you know what's so weird about that is, in my small mind, I couldn't have imagined it, like the resurgence of it presenting music like that in this way. You're gonna meet Dave Cho, through that you're gonna meet Money Mark, and then you're gonna do this, you're gonna meet all these other cool people, then you're gonna record this album, and then you're gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, that's some shit, man.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, and like after that, you could probably realize to yourself that like, yo, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Like there's like a thing that's beyond myself. You know what I'm saying? That's just a wave thing. And people pick up on them waves, just like catching a fucking baseball in the mitt. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, I like this. And and people, that's how people connect, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, man. I've shared that before, but you asked, and I'm like, and it's relevant to the topic that we've talked about. Because we're running kind of out of time, but I want to get back on your music as far as what you have out there.
Yeah.
A website, future releases, and all that good stuff.
Well, my album is out right now. It's only been out for a month. Mm-hmm. Came out Juneteenth.
What's it called?
Little Dominique's Nosebleed.
Mm-hmm.
It's 16 tracks. It's like a fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Based on my personal experiences. I had these car accidents when I was a kid.
I was just gonna say that. It says you had two car accidents that almost took your life, and then,
it was like, you know, basically I had this broken blood vessel in my nose off the first one.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just constant bleeding, constant hospital visits. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. all this kind of crazy shit. And then one where I was like hit by a car, and I guess the guy tried to back up to see if I was okay, and he broke my leg. Mm-hmm. You know, because my like leg was in between the tire and
that's
the car.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so like and I just remember like in that moment specifically, like laying there and like having this sort of like euphoric feeling. Like,
whoa.
Like it wasn't like painful. It was like, and all the kids from the neighborhood were outside, because mm-hmm, it was like the ice cream truck was there.
And so
everybody was seeing me, and I'm just like there, and it's like I'm looking up at people, and I'm just like hearing, you know, what, you know, I thought to be at the time like a fucking like God talking to me.
That's crazy.
And so like, that's,
so you get messages.
Yeah, so that's kind of like basically it's talking about the spiritual awareness and just how the universe is connected in many things. And from that moment, whether I knew it or not, it was just like, that's how I moved,
right,
you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right,
in
right.
life and towards things, you know? So, yeah, I did all the production as well.
Good. I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
You self-produced it?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Yep. And then is that on Stone's Throw?
It's on Stone's Throw Records.
How do people listening, how do they purchase your album directly? How do they support you directly?
Directly? I mean, honestly, you could go buy the vinyl. There's probably like 60 of them left. People,
please do that, guys.
Yeah, and I mean, other than purchasing, you know, just go listen to the album. You know, you can go on any of these streaming services. Just listening to it is, I think, good enough, even if you can't purchase it, you know?
And that's Koreatown Oddity.
Koreatown Oddity, yeah. Man. And once you listen to this album, you can go back and listen to other things, and I think you'll actually understand more of the other stuff, because this is gives you such a full spectrum of who I am and what I put into the universe.
What inspired you? Is it like a concept album, or is
it's
an autobiographical?
All my albums are concept albums.
So it's like
the only way I make an album.
I hear that. Yeah. I hear that.
And it's like this one may be more conceptual to people because it's like obvious, you know, that, oh, okay, so she's telling this story, you know?
Story, yeah.
But yeah, that's the only way I like to make. I make full albums. I don't just make a bunch of songs and put them together, you know? It's
you have all concept behind it.
For sure. Yeah. I need to know how the album's gonna start, how the album's gonna end, and when I listen to it, I gotta be able to listen to it all the way through and be like, yep, that's cool. That's it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like, having a single here and there is cool for the now time, but like 50, 60 years, people are gonna wanna listen to whole projects, like how you read a book.
Yeah,
you
I
know
was
what
just
saying?
Gonna say, it's like a book. It's like, this is that book for
yeah
that time,
here's the
odd
people want to collect these shits like books. That's how I'm thinking of it. I want people to experience my shit like a dope book or movie.
It's even,
you know,
cooler. I think Stone's Throw is even a perfect fit, because the way they Word. Put out releases, I remember working at Amoeba, and then I came across the Charisma Peanut Butter Wolf album, and I'm like, and the way it was laid out, it was like a double CD, and I'm like, oh, the you know, I remember listening to Methods for the first time.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I like this song.
Yeah.
It's like more of a, I got more out of it.
Nah, they let me do my thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, if they fucking with you, they just like, yo, go ahead.
So they're open to your creative freedom. They don't want to.
Yeah, nobody came in and said, hey, man, you can't do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I did the
right.
album, worked on it, played it. Like, all right, bet. Showed them the cover. They are, all right, bet.
And that's
there
it.
We go. You
and
know
then they just press it up.
Then we set the date. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and there it is.
And are there future projects in the work after? Like, are you working on more material right now?
You know, there is. I do a Chinese New Year's instrumental series every year.
I started it
in about like 2013 with the Dragon, and it's gonna finish in 2024. So each year when the animal ends, I put out a tape for that animal and the energy around
that's a
that.
Great idea. What made you think of that? I like that.
You know what? I've been just going to the temple in Chinatown for like a long time.
Like
somebody, I remember I was this label asked me if I want to do a project, and I was like, oh, you know what? And I was like, oh, it'd be dope to do something like inspired by that.
Because
I always go for the celebration on Chinese New Year's Eve. And get the blessings from the gods and you know, all that type of shit. And so yeah, I started a series, and that's like an ongoing thing.
I love that.
And
keep that up.
Yeah,
keep
for sure.
That up.
It'll be
that's
to
a great idea.
2024.
You could do them, man. You could keep doing
them. Yeah, I mean, it'll finish in 2024 because it'll be 12.
Oh,
it,
right,
you know,
right.
And that'll be
that's
that'll
still
be
some
it.
Work ahead of you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and so that's one thing I do. That's an annual thing. Mm-hmm. And but other than that, there'll be albums in the future. But other,
sure.
I don't really have nothing. It's like I kind of like cook as I go.
I hear
like
you.
I'm not like, yo, I got 12 albums done already.
Yeah,
I'm not. That's not my really my style.
It
yeah, it's more especially like
first getting inspired.
Yeah, because like especially with raps for me, like if I do a rap, like if it's a feature or something like that, it's like, yo, I'm giving a piece of myself, like in this rap and too, so I don't waste it. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
No, I feel the same way.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a
like,
piece of you.
No, nah, it's word. It's like, it's not like, if I was just rapping about any old bullshit, doing verses for anybody in any time would be cool.
No,
you know
it's
what
like
I'm
art to you. It's kind of a
word.
Reflection of you.
No, it's special. If I'm given a verse, it's for a reason.
Yeah,
and
I like
it's
that.
To do, you're like, man, it's like, you're conjuring out here. Like,
no, yeah, the words, your words powerful. You know what I'm
saying?
Nah,
man,
like,
my dad always
word,
tell me,
man,
you got life and death on your tongue. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever you putting out there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you you gonna receive that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
And,
so,
but that could be positive too if you're putting out goodness.
If you're putting out positive things, then, like, for example, I had an album called 200 Tree Rings.
Yeah.
And
that's on Stone's Throw also?
No, that was on a label called New Los Angeles.
How do people get a hold of that?
You can get a hold of that. But you ain't no more vinyl for that. It's like 2014. Okay. But you can listen to it. All my music available to listen to on streaming and shit like
Do you have like a lot of those B side or like your other releases on a Bandcamp or anything?
Oh yeah,
or?
Yeah.
Okay, what's that?
Yeah. My Bandcamp is Koreatown Oddity.
Okay, so
and they, I mean, I'm on Spotify.
So go to his Bandcamp as well.
Yeah, you know. Also, I did an album with Ross G. Rest in peace. Five Chuckles. I did an album with my man Mind Design called Vivian's, based off the Fresh Prince TV show and the two Vivians they had on there as aunts. So I, you know, there's a lot of music out there.
I love that.
My catalog is kind of like. All over that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's not a waste. You know what I'm saying? When
I hear you.
You listen to it, you will get some shit from it.
I love that.
And you know, whenever I want to deliver an album that has vocals and shit on it, I definitely don't want to waste nobody's time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Especially yours. For real.
That's
time investment.
Yeah,
no doubt. What I mean? Yeah. What's your Instagram as well? Like,
my Instagram is
Twitter.
Pretty simple. K-Town Odd. K-Town ODD.
K-T-O-W-N-O-D-D. ODD.
Yep.
And then a website.
I
don't want to miss anything.
No, no website. But if you go to Instagram, you're going to be able to find anything from there.
And then can we shout out the Stones Throw website as well?
Oh, yeah. StonesThrow.com. You could go in there and find my shit on there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Some you know, there's such diverse artists are on that label as well.
No, word.
I saw something on YouTube, some... mini documentary on their studios.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
I thought
work.
It was cool. The way y'all work and like the whole collective, you know.
Yeah, no, work. Yeah.
It looks like you want to be in there.
For sure. Yeah. No, they say they got a really nice facility for sure. Yeah. For sure.
So, and then after, I'll talk to you after about like, as far as other artists you would think would be a good fit for the.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got you. Yeah.
So, hey, man.
Oh, respect.
The best of luck to you.
Respect.
Support Koreatown Oddity on all platforms, especially the music. Follow him and, just support everything he's doing. And definitely tune into all of his future projects as well.
Word up, man. Hey, thank you for having me, man.
You're welcome anytime.
Yeah, man.
All you guys are. Anyone who's been on here, that's just, you're always welcome.
Oh, word.
Next album?
Oh, we going to do it again. We won't even have to wait that long.
And then I'll be like, okay, let's talk about
it. Nah, we ain't even got to wait that long. That
goes to everyone out there who's been on here.
Word.
We have a website attached to the show called stevieweebyshow.com. You can get a shirt if you want. Keep in mind, since the COVID and quarantine's going on, there's a delay on shipping, all right? I'm just letting y'all know, but I check it every day. I even have a manual where I check it like that. Right. I check it like diligently.
Right.
Yeah. Patreon.com. Become a patron if you want to, you know, help support the platform and help us go in here, okay? The newest patrons this week are Mejole Evans, Jordan Bernstein, Jill Reyes, and my man Kurt Korn Foing Fu. We're still working on the music video, The Pod in Which We Travel. I'm going to leave for a camping trip for a few days, but as soon as I get back, we're going to film, okay? So we're definitely on it. Instagram for this show is attached to Instagram/QUANGOU, Kwangu. You can check out my Bandcamp if you want, stevieweebybandcamp.com. All my music's on that. If you want to send packages or anything or letters, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. I'm sorry about the Little Ray's world. There's no, I'm going to get back on it, guys. There's no Little Ray's world for this week, but because I've been trying to plan for my 4-year anniversary. It's taking a lot out of me just planning and gathering all these sleeping bags and all these things that I need. But I guarantee you Lil Ray and Beep are fine, and they're going to be coming back to you very soon. Dude, shout out to you. I'm really happy for your music and your releases.
Yo, man, thank you, man.
It's a good thing.
I'm proud of you,
bro. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, with that being said, we're out.